Thank y'all for coming out and welcome to Grace Community Church Wednesday night service. I'm glad y'all are here if you're here in person, and thank you for tuning in if you're watching online. If it's your first time watching, thank you for tuning in. And my name is Wade. We're glad to have you. Let me pray for us and we will get right into tonight's message. Father, thank you for the message that you gave me tonight. I pray, Lord, that you'd open our hearts and minds to receive it, God. And Lord, as always, I just pray that you'll help us to remember it and apply it to our lives so that we can make the changes that we need to make, Lord, that you want us to make. And Lord, I pray for all the ones that can't be here because they're sick or going to see the doctor at the hospital or at home and can't get out right now. I pray that you'd just be with them right where they are and comfort them, Lord. I pray for those that are out of town that you would keep them safe as they travel and bring them home safely. So Lord, we just turn this service over to you, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, we'll just get right into it then. If you were here last week, we talked about sanctification and how that, you know, it's not a one-time thing. It's not just something we do and we're done with it. You know, we talked about how that's a daily process of becoming more and more obedient to the Word of God and relying less and less on our own nature, our own desires, and, you know, relying on our old sin nature. It's daily choosing to do what God wants us to do instead of what we want to do or what we desire. You know, it's daily choosing, like we said last week, to become more and more like Jesus Christ. That's the whole goal of sanctification, is to be more like Him. And the more we're obedient to Him, the more we become like Him. And the more we become like Him, the more we treat other people the way that He would treat them. And that'll be, you know, mostly the focus of what we talk about tonight. I had a completely different message to preach tonight, but God changed it on me this morning. Actually, that I'll get into it a little more in a little bit, but it actually came Friday. I had a conversation with somebody, and then that came back into play this morning, which changed my message. But like I said, I'll get into that a little more detail here in a little bit. But like I said, the more we change and become like Jesus, then it changes the way that we treat other people. We treat them more and more the way that He would treat them. Just like He told the woman at the well in John chapter 4, verses 13 and 14, He said, "Then Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinks of this water shall thirst again." And He's talking about the gospel, receiving the Holy Spirit. Whoever receives that, whoever drinks of that water that He gives us shall never thirst, but the water that He gives us shall be in him a well of water springing up to everlasting life. So the more of God that we take in and become more and more like Him, then we truly become alive in Christ. And it's the love of Christ and the life of Christ inside of us that overflows into the lives of other people around us. You know, when we're truly being sanctified, like we talked about last week, and truly allowing ourselves to be set apart unto God, you know, I shared that definition with you last week. That's what that means, is to be set apart unto God. And when we truly do that, and then without even noticing, we start caring more and more about other people. And the more we become like Jesus by allowing the Holy Spirit to guide us, instead of guiding ourselves through, you know, our own wants and desires, then we will see that we actually start acting like Jesus. And we'll find ourselves more and more concerned with the needs of other people and how we can serve them and how we can treat them with love and compassion. And, you know, we'll begin to see less and less of our old mindset that we used to have, which is, you know, most times totally selfish, always focused on myself and what I want, what I need, you know, when I want it, how I want it, regardless of how it makes anybody else feel, or regardless of, you know, what it might be doing to them. You know, I think I shared this verse with you last week, but we'll share it again this week in Matthew chapter 20 and verse 28. It says, Jesus himself, it says, even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered to, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. So Jesus said he didn't come to be served. He came to serve. That was his whole purpose, to come and offer us the gospel and show us the love of God and lead us into a relationship with God. And if we're going to become more and more like him, then that will come out of us. Like we just read, it'll flow out of us into the lives of other people. So the more we become like Christ, the more we're obedient to him, we'll see the evidence of that start flowing out of us in the form of the love of God for other people. And it will be an overflow from us, like we just read about in John with the woman at the well. What I want to talk about tonight, it does go right along with last week's message. You know, part of that definition that I shared with you last week on sanctification was setting yourself apart unto God, not just in the things that we do, but mentally. You know, we have to see ourselves set apart unto God. We can't follow Jesus and still see ourselves as part of the world. We have to see ourselves as, now I belong to God. You know, we talked about last week, it's all about your identity. Do I see myself as a child of God? And a lot of us will start coming to church and stuff, but in our minds, we still think of ourselves as separate from that crowd, from the church crowd, or separate from the people that are following God. So it's also a mental thing. We have to start thinking of ourselves as children of God. And from now on, I belong to God. And I'm going to choose to be obedient to him because I belong to him. Like I said, if we don't do that, then we'll still see ourselves separated from God, and we won't include ourselves in the family of God. We'll keep on thinking of ourselves as a person who needs God and wants God, but don't have God. It's still something that we want and we need, but we won't come into that mindset that I have a God of my own and I'm part of the family. Now, going back to why my message changed tonight, I had a conversation Friday morning. It was before I even got out of bed. My phone started blowing up. And, you know, she's had a really hard life going all the way back to her childhood. And, you know, it's just been a cycle her whole life. She'd just been let down over and over again. You know, she'd fall in love with somebody just to have that person eventually, you know, just let her down, disappoint her, and eventually betray her, then abandon her, and leave her with the mess that relationship had created. And like I said, it just became a cycle in her life, all the way from childhood up till now. And, you know, it's quite a long cycle. She's about the same age I am. And, you know, we got pretty much the same background, because that was the cycle in my life, too, up until about 7 years ago, when I fully, you know, gave my life to Christ and surrendered to him and started seeking him and seeking him for fulfillment instead of somebody else to fulfill me. And, you know, it was something that she said to me. That got my attention. And I think there's so many of us stuck right there in that spot. You know, she said to me, what is so wrong with me that I've never had anybody be faithful to me? You know, everybody just uses me and then just walks away. And, you know, when she asked me that, you know, I was real slow to answer, because I didn't want to just throw something at her. So I had to ask myself that same question, because like I said, you know, my background was about the same. And my answer to her was the same answer that God gave me, because, like I said, 7 years ago, I was in the same boat, and I had the same question. You know, what is wrong with me? Why does everybody abandon me and leave me and just, you know, leave me for dead? So, I answered her with the same answer God gave me. And I want to pause right here for a second. You know, if you are going through something that's really hard right now, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, it says, "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we are ourselves are comforted of God." So, you know, whatever you're going through right now, especially if it's a really hard thing that you're going through, stop and take the time and see what God's doing. You know, pay attention to what God is doing for you and how he's getting you through it, because eventually he's going to give you the opportunity to share the same thing with somebody else and comfort them, you know, because they're going to be going through the same thing that you are. So whatever you're going through, take the time to pay attention to how God's helping you through it, because you'll have the opportunity to help somebody else through it. So when she asked me that question, you know, I went right back to 7 years ago, and I gave her the same answer that God gave me when she said, "What is so wrong with me that nobody is faithful, nobody loves me?" You know, I just gave her the answer that God gave me. There are no good men, and there are no good women. There is only a good God, and it's God in a man, or it's God in a woman, that enables them to love like they should love. And it's God in a man or in a woman that enables them to be faithful. You know, nobody without God is able to love like we're supposed to, and nobody without God is able to be faithful the way that we're supposed to be. I've got a few verses here. The Bible talks about that in Romans, and they all say the exact same thing. In Romans chapter 3, verse 12, it says, "They're all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one." Without God, there's not one person on earth that does good. It's God that makes us good. And that verse in Romans is referring to the Psalms. And there's two Psalms that say the exact same thing. In Psalm 14 and verse 3, it says it says the same thing it says in Romans 3:12. It says, "They're all gone aside. They're all together become filthy. There is none that does good, no, not one." And if we go to Psalm 53 and verse 3, it says the same thing again. "Every one of them is gone back. They are all together become filthy, and there is none that does good, no, not one." So that just repeats itself over and over. But if we go back to the verse 1 in both of those Psalms, it tells us the reason why there's none that is not good. In verse 1 of Psalm 14, it says, "The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt, and they have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good." And if we go to Psalm 53 in verse 1, it says the same thing. "The fool has said in his heart, there is no God, and corrupt are they, and have done abominable iniquity. There is none that doeth good." So that's the reason why there is no God in their hearts. None. And, you know, I tell you all the time, you cannot live a godly life without God. If you take God out of life, all you're left with is an ungodly life. So, you know, you can't look for a good man. If he don't have God, then he's just a man. You're not going to find a good man. Without God, there aren't any. And the same goes if you're looking for a good woman. And if she don't have God in her heart, then she's just a woman. She's not going to be a godly woman. And she's not going to, the man or the woman's not going to be the love or the faithfulness that you're looking for. That's why society is so messed up today. They've taken so much of God out of everything that all that's left is a ungodly society. You know, if you take God out of society, that's all you're left with. And it's the same with love. You know, you can't love if you don't have love. And I think we shared this verse last week too. In 1 John chapter 4 and verse 8, it tells us why people can't love. It says, he that loveth not knoweth not God. You know, that's why they can't love. They don't know God. It says God is love. And we read it all the time in Galatians chapter 5, the list of the Holy Spirit, or the fruit of the Holy Spirit. It says, and the very first one is love. You know, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. All those things are what you need to have a healthy relationship. You know, not just in a man and a woman in a marriage, but any relationship. You know, that's where your faithfulness comes in. That's where taking how other people feel into consideration. All those things come from the fruit of the Holy Spirit, of God. You know, we just read God is love. And if you take God out of the equation, then all we have left is our own wants and desires. We don't have the love that we're looking for. Without the Holy Spirit, we're not capable of loving anybody, you know, the way that we should be loving them. You know, we might be kind to them. We might be fond of them. We might be able to do nice things for them every once in a while. But without the love of God in our hearts, like we just talked about, we'll eventually grow tired of doing those things. And we'll eventually grow tired of them because my needs have changed. You know, eventually it's going to come back to, without God, my only purpose for me is to please me, to do things that I need, things that I want. That's the only nature we have without God. You know, I'm not getting satisfied the way I want to be satisfied anymore. So I'm going to leave you, and I'm off to find my next source of satisfaction. You know, whatever that may be. And like I tell you every week, all of us are different. You know, what satisfies me might not satisfy you. But it don't matter what it is. When we become unsatisfied in a relationship, we're gonna look to something else to find that satisfaction. That's why we see so many relationships that don't last. There's so many relationships that end in people hating and resenting each other because they're not getting what both of them need out of it. You know, because in the end, I wasn't here to love you in the first place. I was here to fulfill my own desires and my own needs, and I wasn't here to give you love. I was here looking for love myself, and I thought that loving you would fulfill me. But when I don't get that, then I no longer love you because I was seeking something for me and not for you. And the reason that happens is because I don't have it either. You know, when you get two people that are looking for the same thing and neither one of them have it, then both of them, in the end, are not going to get what they need. So when you're not meeting my need for love and acceptance, then I'm going to seek it somewhere else. So if I leave you all alone again, because it's because I'm all alone too. I'm not getting what I need, and neither are you. And I'm not the answer to your problem. And then, you know, we find out you weren't the answer to mine either. Because any relationship, both people are looking for something. And God is the answer for both of them. But if they're looking for you for fulfillment and you're looking to them for fulfillment, it's only a matter of time before both of you realize that you're not the answer to my problem and I'm not the answer to yours. It's God is the answer for both of us. The love of God is the answer for both of us. You know, we just read in those two Psalms, Psalm 14:1 and Psalm 53:1, that the reason that they believe there is no God and that nobody's doing good is because they don't have the love of God in their hearts. And like I just said, God is the answer for both people, the love of God. Romans chapter 5 and verse 5, it says, and it's talking about when we surrender our lives to God, it says, hope makes not ashamed because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, or the Holy Spirit, which is given unto us. So no longer are we fools running around trying to please each other and satisfy each other and looking to each other for fulfillment. Now, once you've surrendered to Christ, He fills your heart with His love. He says He sheds it abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Once we truly surrender to Jesus and receive the Holy Spirit, only then can we love. And only then can we see that the other person wasn't the problem. You know, we have so many relationships ending, well, it would have worked out, but they did this, or but they did that. And once we do come to Jesus and surrender and receive the Holy Spirit, then it's like your eyes are open and you see they weren't the problem all along. You both were the problem because neither one of you had God in your life. And once you have the Holy Spirit, you can see clearly I didn't have any love in me either. You know, just a longing for it, a need for it. You know, we've all got that need for love. And we don't know what it is until we come to Christ. We might think it's money. We might think it's a bigger house or a new car or something. You know, we talk about it all the time. I hear, you know, people talk about a God-shaped hole that we're trying to fill. And everybody, like I keep saying, we're all different. You may try to fill it with something different than I would, and I would try to fill it with something different than what you would try to fill it with. But in the end, you know, that God-shaped hole has a name, and it's love. It's Jesus. It's the Spirit of God in your heart that we just read about there in Romans 5. When God sheds that abroad in your hearts, you finally find what you've been looking for. And there's nothing else or nobody else that's ever going to be able to fill that hole. Only God can fill that. You know, you won't be able to fill anybody else's, and they're not going to be able to fill yours. And like I said earlier, that's why we see so many toxic, bad relationships ending in divorce or abuse, or you fill in the blank. You know, the relationships end in all different kinds of ways. People that were really good friends wind up hating each other for no reason. And the reason for that is because neither one of them know what love is. And you can't have a healthy relationship without it. You got two people who both need the same thing, and neither one of them has it, and yet they keep trying to give it to each other. We keep trying to fix one another. You know, in the recovery world, we call that codependency, and it's very unhealthy, and it never works out. And most of the time, it's the children that pay the highest price in those relationships. You know, I might hurt you, and you might hurt me, but if there's children involved, then they're the ones that ultimately pay for it. You know, you wind up with all the moms and dads in jail or, you know, whatever the circumstance is. That's why the foster parents, that's why that whole business stays so busy. They're just always over capacity. There's not enough room for all the kids. And, you know, my situation wasn't any different. You know, my daughter grew up, for the most part, without a dad or a mom because neither one of us knew Jesus when we were together. That's why our marriage didn't work out. That's why we were not faithful. That's why things didn't work out. Neither one of us had God in our hearts. And that's why so many marriages fail. And that's why people get married so many different times. You know, I'm not proud of it, but I've been married 4 times myself. And the reason for that is because I didn't know what love was. I didn't have Jesus. I didn't have love to offer. And the people that I was married to didn't have that to offer back either. So it was just a matter of time until you're not fulfilling my needs. So I'm going somewhere else, and vice versa. It's never a one-sided street. It always works both ways. But like I said, the children are the ones that usually pay the highest price in those relationships. And we see that too. Too many times we see people coming to church looking for answers, And that should be where you find the answer. You know, we just read there in Romans 5, when we do surrender our lives to Christ, that's when we receive the Holy Spirit. And then he can lead us and guide us and help us to be the loving person and the faithful person that we're supposed to be. But we see too many people coming to church looking for answers, and they think they can learn about God and learn about the Bible, and things will get better. They think they can get a set of rules to go by and fix everything. And that's just not the way it is. You know, God does give us guidelines to live by. But without surrendering to Christ and being indwelt by his Holy Spirit, we still don't have the love that we're looking for. All we do is have a set of rules that we can't follow perfectly without the Holy Spirit to frustrate us even more. And then we feel even more confused because now we're like working our turn. Without the Holy Spirit, the law don't do us any good. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 6, that's what Paul is saying. It says, who also, talking about God, has made us able ministers of the New Testament. And he's talking about the gospel, that Jesus Christ came to die for us and give us his Holy Spirit to give us a new life, to help us become new creatures, not of the letter, that means the law, but of the Spirit. So he's not talking about when we come to Christ, when we start coming to church, we don't just need to learn the law. We need to receive the Spirit, because he says, for the letter killeth, but the Spirit gives life. So if all we're doing is learning about God, but we don't receive the Holy Spirit, then we don't get the life that it gives. All we get is the law, which kills us. So growing in the knowledge of God without the Spirit of God just makes us more aware of our sin. And, you know, we start feeling worse than we did to start out with. Oh. So it's not enough just to come to church and start learning and getting lists of things that we should or shouldn't do. That don't change our hearts. We still have the same heart we came through the door with. And that makes us feel even further from God than we were when we came in. It's the Spirit of God that gives life, like that there, that verse says. So many people come to church looking for answers that they never get, because no one has told them that they have to surrender their hearts to Jesus. And I'm not talking about grace. Grace does a pretty good job of telling people you have to surrender your life to Christ before you ever see a change in it. You know, it's not about perfect attendance. The worldwide church today is more concerned about having people be obedient to their rules and meet a certain social standing so they look good in public and appear godly, you know, to their own benefit. They're more concerned about things like that than they are about the souls of the men and the women that they should be sharing Christ with. They're more concerned about their appearance than they are about people being surrendered to Christ. And Jesus himself said that false teachers like that are hypocrites, and they bring harm to the church. They lead people astray, away from God rather than to God. And like I said, I don't ever want you to take my opinion on anything. Jesus himself says that in Matthew chapter 15, verses 7 through 9. He says, you hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, this people draws nigh to me with their mouth and honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. You know, if we don't share with people, you have to surrender your life to Christ and receive the Holy Spirit to have a new life. You know, like we were talking about last week, you know, that conversation that he had with Nicodemus. He said, if you're not born again, then you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. We don't hear that preached a whole lot. You know, the churches today, they just want you to come in and look a certain way and act a certain way, when truly, they don't care about your eternal soul. They just want you to behave while you're there and make the church look good. And that's not why Jesus came. Excuse me. Jesus came so we could be free from that, and so that the law could be fulfilled in us through the love of God. You know, the doctrines of men can't save you. Only the Spirit of the living God can do that. You know, we keep talking about being alive. And being alive simply means, you know, in the flesh, that our bodies and our souls are in union with one another. They are united. You know, that's how I can stand up here and talk and preach and work and do all the things that I do every day. But when they're separated, you know, that's what we call death. You know, if my soul left me right now, then all I would be is a dead body. So being alive means that my body and my soul are in union together. But to be spiritually alive, like we're talking about now, means that our souls are in union with the Spirit of God. You know, we share it all the time. In Ephesians 2, verses 1 and 5, we've talked about that for the last few weeks. And he says, "And you hath he quickened," or brought to life, "who were dead in trespasses and sins." And it says it again in verse 5. It says, "Even when we were dead in sins, he has quickened us," or brought us to life, "together with Christ. By grace are you saved." So even though we're alive in our flesh, we're dead in our spirits until we come to Christ. But when we receive and surrender to Christ and receive the Holy Spirit, then we are in union with God. And that's how we can receive the love of God. And he sheds it abroad in our hearts, like we talked about a minute ago. But when the Holy Spirit brings us into union with God, when we surrender to Jesus and we receive the Holy Spirit, then the fruit of the Spirit belongs to us. And the very first one on that list that we read a while ago is love. And it's only then that we can love. And it's only when the Holy Spirit is in the other person too that they will have the capacity to love you the way that you're looking for. You know, I've been doing a study at night. It's called Freedom in Christ by Neil Anderson. It's a really good one. He's got two that go together. One is Freedom in Christ, and the other one is Bondage Breaker. But he gave a demonstration about two boys in it I want to share with you. It says one boy, he was raised with a church background. You know, he had his family. His parents weren't divorced. He had brothers and sisters, and they went to church three times a week, did all the things, and they checked off all the boxes, you know, had the appearance of living a good godly life. But, you know, they were going to very legalistic churches. And all they had was all these lists of rules like I've been talking about. And, you know, he was raised, obey these rules or you're going to be punished. You know, meet a certain standard or you're going to get what's coming to you. You know, so he was surrounded by church and family. And the other boy that he was talking about was born to a woman that didn't even want him, you know. He wasn't a planned pregnancy, didn't know who the dad was. His mother was a drug addict, and she died of a drug overdose when he was around 10 years old, and he was being raised by the... tossed around in the foster care system. And he had the question in there of which one of those boys do you think had the most to learn about love? And, you know, a lot of us would say, oh, well, the boy in the foster system that, you know, never had a mom or a dad. But the answer was both of them. Because neither one of them had experienced the true love of God. You know, just because they were going to church while this boy was over here being abused, neither one of them were experiencing the love of God. You know, if you're going away from God, you're going away from God. It don't matter which direction you're heading. So whether it's in church or at the drug dealer's house or looking for love on a pornographic website, if it's false, it's false. If it's not the love of God, it's not the love of God. You know, we read this verse last week too in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 30. Jesus said that he that's not with me is against me, and he that gathers not with me scatters abroad. So if it's not the love of God, then it's not the love of God. If it's not for God, it's against God. So it don't matter what's drawing you away from it. If it's false love, it's false love. And I think too many people come to church looking for love, and they walk away with a bunch of rules and never find out what true love is. And that, to me, is sad. You know, it don't matter what you're whitewashing it with. There is no replacement for God's love. There's only one love of God, and it cannot be replaced. And it can't be replicated, and it can't be found anywhere else except in Jesus Christ. You know, Jesus says in John chapter 14 and verse 6, he says, I am the way, I am the truth, and the life, and no man comes unto the Father but by me. You know, we read earlier in 1 John 4:8 that God is love. So if we read that verse again with that in mind, if God is love, then he's saying that no one comes to the Father but by me, then no one comes to love any other way than in and through Jesus Christ, because God is love. So if we can't come to the Father without Jesus Christ, then we can't come to love without Jesus Christ, because they're one and the same. So the answer to her question was, there's nothing wrong with you. All you need is Jesus. The whole world needs Jesus. There's not one single person on earth that needs Jesus. We just read in Romans chapter 3, Psalm 14, and Psalm 53 that there's none good. Nobody that does one. It also says in Romans that all have sinned and all have fallen short of the glory of God. So my answer to her was, there's nothing wrong with you. You just need Jesus. You need to surrender to him and receive the Holy Spirit so you know what love is. And you need to look for Jesus and the other people. You know, if you want a companion that's going to love you the way that you should be loved, then look for somebody with Jesus in them. Because without Jesus, nobody is capable of loving you that way, and nobody is capable of being faithful. And like I said, that's not just in marriages or couples. That is in your relationship with your children. That's in your relationship with your friends. That's in every relationship. So Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And there is no other way to love but through him, like we just read in John 14, 6. And the very next chapter, and, you know, this just backs up what we're talking about tonight. In John 15, in verse 5, he says, I am the vine, and you are the branches. And he that abides in me, and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. You know, if we keep trying to have relationships without Jesus Christ in our hearts, then they're never going to work. You know, he says you have to abide in me and I in him. And what he's talking about, we abide in him, we stay surrendered to him, and he'll be in us, his Holy Spirit, and the same brings forth much fruit. And that fruit is the same fruit that we talk about in Galatians. That's the fruit of the Spirit, and the very first one is love. So he says, without me, you can do nothing. And that includes our relationships. You're never going to have a healthy one without him. So whatever you're looking for, not just in relationships, whatever you're looking for in life, the answer really is Jesus. And, you know, that's not just a churchy answer, because we're in church. That's the truth. I love this verse in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. It's so simple, but if you'll live by this verse, everything else really is added unto you. and everything else really does fall in place, but God comes first. We can't do all these things without the love of God in our hearts, you know. I tried my entire life without it and failed miserably the whole way through. And I'm not the only one. You know, the world's full of people that are seeking and not finding, that are just frustrated, and things just don't work out. So they just jump from one thing to the next their whole lives. And without God, it's never going to work out, and we're always going to feel unfulfilled. Nothing else will fill that hole. You know, that verse is true. It says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." So that verse has been very true in my life. You know, seek God first. Sanctify the Lord in your life, like we talked about last week. Sanctify the Lord in your heart. Actually, get that new heart that he gives you when you surrender to him. And then, like we talked about last week, wake up every day and set yourself apart unto God. You know, that's the sanctification that we talked about. Be diligent in seeking him. And not just seeking him, you know, be strict on yourself and obey him. And the Holy Spirit will shed God's love abroad in your heart and fill that hole that you've been trying to fill your whole life. And you'll finally start getting the answers that you're looking for. But it all starts with surrendering your heart to Jesus. It all starts there. And, you know, if you've never done that, it's really simple. All you got to do is say in your heart, "I need you." You know, it took that for me. You know, I looked for satisfaction in every other way I could find it without surrendering my life to Christ. And you cannot find it without him. But that's all you have to do is come to God and tell him, "I need you." And ask him to come into your heart and rescue you. And he will. You know, he is our Savior. That's what he does. He rescues us from death and brings us into life. And then we actually have a life. We have eternal life. You know, we were talking about this earlier. So many people are focused on the problems that we have in this world, and nobody has an eternal mindset. And when you actually get that eternal mindset, that's when you start seeing the real value in people. You know, people are not disposable. Relationships are not disposable. And when we start seeing people in that light, they mean something to us. So if you're having a hard time in your life, just come to God and say, "I need your help. I need you. To help me," and he will. And it don't matter where you are. I don't care what kind of life you're living, if you're strung out on drugs or alcohol or, you know, whatever your story is, it really don't matter. If you think you're too far gone, I always share this verse at the end of a sermon, Romans chapter 5 and verse 8. It says, "God commends his love towards us," or he proves his love towards us, "and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." So it don't matter what you're doing or how long you've been doing it. That's the whole reason Christ came, is because we needed to be rescued. We needed a Savior. So God proved his love for us. Christ died for us while we're sinners. He didn't come for us because we straightened up and now we're doing so good that God wants us. No, it's the exact opposite. He came to save us. You know, God don't care what you've done or where you've been. Just come like you are, and he'll accept you just the way you are. And confess with your mouth to somebody that you've given your life to Jesus, and you will be saved. It says that in Romans 10, verse 10. I try to share that verse with you every week, too. It says, "If you shall confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation." So don't listen to the lie that you've got to get it all together before you come to church. You know, I heard that most of my life. You need to straighten up and go to church. That is backwards. And if your relationship is falling apart or you're having a really hard time with it, don't give up on it. Really think about what you heard in this message and take it to God and ask Him to help you, you know. Maybe you don't know what love is either. I know I didn't. And I think a lot of people are in that same boat. They just don't know what it is. They've never experienced it. Ask God to help you, and He will. He'll give you His Holy Spirit to show you what it is and to help you. But you don't have to get it together. Come as you are, and God will accept you. And when you surrender to Him, you'll receive the Holy Spirit. And then just let God lead you into the life that He has in store for you. And let Him lead you into the love that you've been searching for. And then maybe you'll be the love that somebody else needs that you've been trying to give them but just didn't know how. You know, I know that was the case in my life for a long time. I wanted to love people. I wanted to be faithful. I wanted to do the right thing. But because I didn't have the love of God in my heart, I didn't know how either. You know, we're very limited in how we know to love each other. And we're very limited on how faithful we are. Because without God, we can only take so much. And then we get frustrated and we walk off. So that's my message tonight. I hope that really helps somebody. It really helped me 7 years ago because I had no clue why I was just failure after failure after failure. I thought something was wrong with me. And there was something wrong with me. I didn't have Jesus. So, which really, like I said a while ago, there wasn't anything wrong with me. That's common to man. That's everybody on earth needs Jesus. And so if that's you, I hope it helps you. And I hope you do make the decision to surrender your heart to Jesus and receive His Holy Spirit so you'll be able to love and be able to be loved too. You know, that's something else I had to learn to do, was learn how to let somebody love me, because living that long without love, I didn't trust anybody. That takes time. That's part of the sanctification process we talked about last week. You become that new creature. You know, you're saved instantly. You know, we talked about that last week too. But you're sanctified from day to day, living in obedience to Jesus. As always, I try to give you some homework to do. This week, I want to give you some. If you're taking notes, write these verses down in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1 through 8. That gives us a good godly description of what love is. If you're reading it in the King James, it'll say charity, but the word charity is just a substitution for love. In the NLT, it says love. But I encourage you to study those 8 verses this week and take those and evaluate your relationships that you're in right now with other people and see, you know, how am I loving them? How is the way I'm treating them line up with the way God's Word says love is supposed to be? Because I remember the first time I looked at those verses, especially in the NLT version, that I wasn't doing any of those things right. And my idea of love was all self-centered. You know, what I need, what I need, what I need. But when I looked at those verses, almost all of them are how can I love, not be loved. And the proverb says, to have friends, you got to show yourself friendly. And that works with love, too. To be loved, you have to love others. And I always tell you, God says He does it first. He's always our example. And we just read that in Romans chapter 5 and verse 8. It says He showed His love to us. He demonstrated it, or commended His love towards us. And that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. So if you want love in your relationships, be the one to love first. And to do that, you need Christ in your heart. So that's my message for tonight. I hope that really helps somebody. Let me pray for us, and we will be dismissed. Thank you all for coming out, and thank you for tuning in online if you're watching online. Father, thank you for that message. I'm thankful for what you've done in my life, for the changes you've made in my heart, and for the growth that I've seen in the last 7 years. Just living in obedience to your word, Lord, and loving others the way that you encouraged me to love. And I'm thankful for the changes in myself that you've done, Lord, because you've enabled me to accept love and to learn how to trust others and to trust you in others, Lord. And Father, I just pray for everybody that hears this message, the ones that are here, the ones that are online, and the ones that will hear it in the future, Lord. I pray that you'd give them the courage to come to you and ask for help and actually receive your Holy Spirit, God, so that they can experience and learn what love truly is. Lord, we love you, and we thank you for loving us. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.